In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, there is at once no name so loved, so reviled, and so mistreated as that of our Lord. His holy name, Jesus. Popular culture has profaned it to no end, with reckless abandon. And we, unfortunately, have not been spared totally the ill effects of this. If we wish to know why we fall so often into the same sins, why progress in virtue can be so arduous, why the love of God seems so tepid in our souls, perhaps we need to ask ourselves, do I truly reverence the name of God? Do we cherish his name? Is hearing his name like medicine for our souls? Do we appreciate why it is in the Roman ritual that in the rite of prayers for those in their last agony, for those on death's door, the dying person is exhorted to repeat over and over again the name of Jesus, or to have his name said into his ears by those present? Does his name fill our hearts with a profound longing to leave behind this poor world and to be united to the Savior of our souls? We must admit that there has been a change with respect to the hearing of God's name between the Old and the New Covenants. In the Old, his name inspired an austere sense of fear and awe and a majesty. And the honor of pronouncing the sacred name was not given to all the children of Israel. This was for a reason. God had not yet come down to earth to dwell among his children. He had not yet taken our nature. His name, which so well expresses his tenderness and love for us, for it means he saves. This name could not yet be used by men to refer to him. It was only when the fullness of time was reached, when God was finally ready to make known his love for men, that the message from heaven was carried by the archangel Gabriel to Mary, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." Only a man who has lost everything can fully comprehend how powerful this name is. The gentle name of our Lord seems to link heaven and earth in an instant. No name is more loved than this name. Every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth bows in adoration at the name of our Savior. When we hear it, does it not draw the love of our hearts more surely and swiftly than any other? St. Bernard of Clairvaux teaches us that the name of Jesus is light, food, and medicine. It is light when it is preached to us. It is food when we think upon it. It is the medicine that soothes our pains when we invoke it. It is light for us, for it was under this name that the knowledge of the true God was spread to all the nations. St. Paul puts it succinctly, "Heretofore you were darkness, but now light in the Lord." His name is also food for our souls, for we are greatly strengthened when we hear it or when we think of it. What name is there that restores energy to tired faculties or gives a new impetus to virtue or reinforces holy habits? Or inspires purity so effectively as this name? All other foods of our souls, all other prayers, all other readings, if they are not touched by the love of this name, they remain dry and sterile. The name of our Lord is also medicine for those who hear it. To those oppressed by sadness, to those discouraged by the knowledge of their own sinfulness, to hear the name of Jesus is to hear the name of life itself, Upon hearing it, the hardness of our hearts is dissipated. We are quickened from our sloth. A fire is lit in the midst of our coldness. If ever there was a name to inspire the gift of tears, it is the sweet name of our Lord. Should we face peril of body or soul, this name fills us with confidence and courage once it reaches our ears. If we are ever assailed by doubts, does not this name prove a firm bulwark and a refuge in the storm? All of these healing properties are indeed found only in our Lord's name, the medicine of our souls. And there have been instances in history in which our Lord's holy name became medicine not only for souls, but for bodies as well. An awful plague broke out in Lisbon, Portugal, in 1432, and all who were capable, naturally, fled the city, spreading the dreaded malady all throughout the country. Thousands of men, women, and children of all classes, walks of life, were infected and died. Men were falling over dead in all sorts of places, in their homes, at their businesses, in the marketplace, in church. The horrible disease spread with lightning-like rapidity from man to man, coat to coat, hat to hat. Many priests, bishops, monks, and nuns were struck dead as well. Their bodies piled up in the streets. Dogs would come and lick the wounds and chew at the cadavers, in turn infecting these poor animals and killing them too. However, God always raises up saints in these terrible crises. And there was a holy bishop. Monsignor Andre Dias, living in the monastery of St. Dominic. He couldn't help but see that the epidemic was growing every day in horrific intensity, and that all human means of alleviation of the plague were proving an utter failure. His response was the right one. He called on all the citizens of the country to invoke without ceasing the holy name of Jesus. He would venture into every nook and cranny of the country where the disease was doing the worst damage, taking the most lives. He urged and implored all to keep on repeating the holy name, Jesus, Jesus. He told everyone to write our Lord's holy name on cards and to keep the cards on their persons, to place them under their pillows. But above all, to constantly have the holy name on their lips. And in a time when the demon of malady was wreaking havoc, Monsignor Dias was an angel of peace who went to the dying and filled them with confidence and courage. The sick felt within themselves new life because of his grace-filled presence, and they wore their holy name cards on their clothing, so that the divine presence would never leave them. Monsignor Dias then summoned to them the Church of St. Dominic, where he spoke to them the holy name, blessed water in this name, and ordered all present to bless themselves with it and to sprinkle the faces of the sick and the dying with this water. What do you think happened? Wonder of wonders, the sick were healed, the dying reversed course, and were restored to health. The plague ceased, and the city was delivered from the epidemic. Word spread, and all the citizens began invoking the holy name. And in a short time, this plague had been driven from the entire country of Portugal. The grateful people did not forget this extraordinary favor from heaven. And henceforward, whenever and wherever they fell into trials and crosses and difficulties, great or small, it was the holy name that they called upon with trustful surrender and confidence. Confraternities were formed in churches, and processions in honor of the holy name were had monthly. Altars were erected to our Lord's holy name, all so that would never be forgotten the goodness and benevolence of our Lord in turning the gravest curse that had ever befallen this nation into its greatest blessing. So may the holy name of our Lord ever grace our lips, but as a sincere prayer, a prayer from our hearts. Let us forgo the excesses of a sinful world which has forgotten and despised the sacredness of this name. His name is not to be used lightly, for as St. Paul affirms, it is the source of our salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.